We're going to be joined by Joe Beninati right now, but I got to play this call. Go ahead, Derek.
Tag on the right wing to Crosby. Polchek away, and now the counter. Here come the Caps. Kuznetsov gets loose. Evgeny coming down the middle. A shot, and it comes in over. He scores! He scores! Evgeny Kuznetsov wins it for Washington! It's off to the third round! The Demons have been exercised! Good morning! Good afternoon! And good night, Pittsburgh! We're going to Tampa Bay! The Capitals have done it!
They slayed the Penguins! All of the heartache! All of the Demons! The two-time defending champions are going home! And the Capitals are moving on for the first time in 20 years!
That's spectacular. Joe, thanks for joining us. And, you know, as you were saying that, I was putting the word Raptors in where you were mentioning the Capitals, and I was putting the Cavaliers in where you were mentioning the Penguins. I just kind of closed my eye, you know, closed my eyes and thought.
Yeah, Jeff, credit where credit is due. Now, that's John Walton on the radio
all
call.
All right. John Walton did it. All right. Well, I was still doing that.
John doesn't get cheated, as you can tell.
Yeah.
John doesn't get cheated in that call.
No, he was right on top of it. So, I mean, well, tell me, Joe, what was, you know, how big a hurdle is that for not just that franchise, but that city? Somebody sent out a tweet on social media and they had their 16-year-old kid wearing a Capitals jersey, and he was jumping around after the goal was scored. And basically the tweet said, "My son's seen a Washington team win." I was like, what?
It's stunning, Jeff. It had been a while for Washington, whether it be Capitals, Nationals in baseball, Wizards in basketball, Redskins in football. I want to say that they had 13 consecutive chances between those four squads to get to a conference final and had failed. And you heard somewhere in the tagline of all the hysteria of John Walton's radio call last night that truly it's been 20 years for the Washington Capitals to get to round three. And fortunately for me, I started my NHL TV career in 94, 95. So we were with the Caps back in 98. And at that time, the local TV rights holders could do two rounds. So Craig Lachlan and I called the first round win over Boston. I'll never forget the series that Ole Kolzig had in 1998 in the second round against Ottawa. And then we had to wave bye-bye to the team as they went to it was ESPN at the time that had the conference final and beyond. But it's been a long, long time. And 20 years it's hard for me to fathom. There have been so many quality teams for the Caps in the regular seasons, especially recently. I immediately will look to 2009, 2010, 2016, 2017. You know, those are four teams that would have, could have, should have, and didn't get it done. And this year, it's interesting that the team with nowhere near the expectation level is now into round three.
Well, I was going to say, what has been the biggest difference this year? You know, and I think we also need to mention that this was a team that at the start of the playoffs was really concerned about Braden Holtby to the point that Philip Grubauer looked like he was going to be the guy. And, I mean, Joe, you all know, to have success in the playoffs, you've got to settle your goaltending. What's been the difference this year?
We can start right there. Let's start with Braden. And Barry Trotz, Scott Murray, Mitch Korn, the coaches, all they had the guts to sit Braden down and say, you know what, you need like a parent would say to an unruly child, you need a timeout, you need to reset. And thankfully for Washington at that time, Philip Grubauer from pretty much January on had been lights out, spectacular, had outplayed Braden and earned the starting nod at the beginning of the Columbus series. He was okay in game one. He did not play to his level in game two, and that reopened the door for Holtby to come on in. And since he has, he's been so solid. And I think more than anything, Jeff, he's just focused on Braden Holtby. There was a time there during the season where Braden was trying to put out all the fires, not only his, but a bunch of others. And I think part of the reset was, Braden, just focus on you. We know what you can be, and he's delivered. That's really where the turnaround starts. But I think systematically or schematically, Jeff, They found something after game two against Columbus. The first two games, Panarin's running around all over the place. The offensive chances, the odd man rushes were staggering. And whatever it is, schematically, they found from the remainder of that series that they were able to employ against Pittsburgh, they really didn't allow Pittsburgh all those vaunted plays that the Penguins get off the rush. They made Pittsburgh work the full length of the rink. They were totally committed to an area that Barry Trotz calls home plate.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw more shot blocking. And I think that investment, that buy-in defensively, has pushed them this far.
Yeah, and you know, I got to tell you that for what I was able to watch of that series, and we've had a lot going on here, but I thought that Dmitry Orlov and Matt Niskanen had terrific series.
Very much so. Matt, I think last night we were commenting that there were some occasions where it looked like he had a hole in his hockey stick last
mm-hmm.
night. But he's always so positionally sound, and they always say that, you know, the hockey term is he has a great stick, that his stick positioning is always in the right spots for intercepting passes or deflecting pucks down. I thought he was incredibly physical in that series, but good on you to mention Orlov. Dmitry arguably could have been the most consistent Capitals defenseman all season long, and John Carlson's had a whale of a year offensively. He's been sound in his own zone, but if you look at it cover to cover, Orlov may have been their best all throughout, and he plays a rugged style. He has more offensive component to his game than you might imagine. So that particular grouping, that pairing, they had a lot of difficult assignments. They get a lot of the high-stress minutes. They're always going to be facing, you know, whichever line's going best. And if it's Sid and Gensel and those guys, it's going to be Orlov and Niskanen there. If it's Kucherov and Stamkos, it's going to be those two guys. So they've got a lot of work ahead, too.
So I was going to say, they clearly do have a lot of work ahead. How quickly do they regroup and, you know, and get ready for Tampa? And what is Tampa going to present to them that Pittsburgh didn't? And I know that seems kind of odd to say, considering who Pittsburgh has in their team and what their track record is. But will the Capitals have a similar approach with the Lightning, or do they have to do something different?
Well, I think this was a pretty good primer for them, Jeff. You know, Columbus skates well. Pittsburgh skates extremely well. And from what I understand from scouts and coaches, Tampa Bay is Mach 1.
Mm-hmm.
So that defensive scheme, which was found to whatever it was, it was to hamper Pittsburgh between the blue lines more than anything, not let them build up speed, not let them get transition, being very conscious with the puck on the Washington side. There weren't very many glaring turnovers that led to odd man rushes, and if you do that with Pittsburgh and teams like Tampa, they'll roast you. So, you know, being conscientious in that standpoint, making sure that you get pucks deep. I know that this is what every hockey fan hears, every player say, but when I wasn't calling games in round two and I'm sitting there watching games, now I understand what you're saying. You're saying get to the red line. If you don't have an offensive chance to bring it into the zone under control, get it deep. Get it deep every time. Make those really highly skilled, fluidly skating teams go board to board, go 200 feet. And the more men that you can have in their way, the better. And I think that has to be the mantra against a Tampa team that I know I've seen firsthand really has a bunch of jets. They remind me a lot of the Toronto team that the Caps saw in the first round last year, and even with more oomph offensively.
Good stuff, Joe. And listen, you know, it was funny. We were watching the highlights before he came on here, and I grew up in Winnipeg. I'm a Jets fan. The Blackhawks were my team when I was a kid. But I got to tell you, I think there are a lot of neutrals who were really happy. I didn't notice respect to Sid. I think there were a lot of neutrals who were really happy to see Washington get over that hurdle. And I kind of like the idea of Ovi getting a cup. I really
yeah.
do.
So many people really are pushing for Alex, and that really warms my heart, because this is a guy who deserves it, and I know how badly he wants to celebrate winning with his teammates. All those individual achievements, they're fabulous, but he wants to celebrate a cup win more than anything. And to hear that that the neutral fans out there are sitting, you know what, good for Alex, good for Washington, that does me well.